Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
A good Monday afternoon, and welcome via your radios to West Palm Beach, Florida. It is beautiful. It is sunny. Exhibition baseball is being played. James Wood is in the batter's box. Life is good. Our coverage on Grant and Danny from West Palm Beach of National Spring Training Baseball is presented by our friends at Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Danny got in, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go.
Danny Ruye made it. Almost didn't, but he did.
They tried to say, no, not you. Not tonight.
So Danny was doing dad things.
Mm-hmm.
So you stayed a little longer in the DMV.
Yep.
Myself, Darris, and Ryan, our producers. Toby, you know him from Bustin' Loose Baseball, the Nats pod I do with him, as well as his other work here on the fan. He's a huge Nats mark and really good on air talking ball. He came down with us, so the four of us flew in on Saturday. We had a blast, all kinds of skits and bits coming from the airport, getting our rental car. Very stress-free. Danny was not making a sprint through the airport, although I did miss you, Danny, because we got to the rental car line, and there were 10 people in front of us.
Ladies and gentlemen, I rest my case.
And I said, this would not have happened if Danny was here. Now, it would have been a lot to deal with the rest of the time, but we wouldn't have been in this line right now.
You directly compete with people in your arriving city for resources, the cabs, the rental cars, whatever it is, get there first.
So we touched down. We were here before noon on Saturday. Meanwhile, Danny flew in. He was originally supposed to get here around 11 o'clock last night. After three or four delays, that turned into you getting to the Airbnb last night a little before 1:40 a.m.
Right around, one and change. I'm not sure what time
we all came and picked you up, though.
Which was super nice. You guys didn't have to do that. That was really cool.
If you want to see a video of Danny arriving with the smallest briefcase or suitcase ever at the airport when we picked him up from the terminal, you can go check that out in my Instagram story, at Grant H. Paulson.
By the way, Fredericksburg says hi. It's doing just fine. I was there at close examination on both Saturday all day and Sunday all day for a long soccer tournament in puddles and rain and mud.
Mike Rizzo, the president of the Washington Nationals, running their baseball operation, will be joining the show today. We will talk to him at 3 o'clock coming up in just a few minutes. So looking forward to chatting with Rizzo about this young ball club. We'll talk about our experiences down here in the clubhouse in just a moment, but should let everybody know it's going to be a great few days of coverage. So we're going to continue to discuss the National Football League. The league year is just 7 days away. Next week at this time, free agency begins. The Commanders have the most money to spend. Obviously, Washington is the belle of the ball when it comes to the draft as well with the number two pick. Looks like the Bears are going to take Caleb Williams 1-1. Everybody thinks they're going to trade Justin Fields, so the draft might begin with the Commanders with that number two pick for teams that want to move up? Does Washington just sit pat, take a quarterback? Today, Adam Schefter, Danny, is floating the idea that maybe the Commanders will want to just go get Kirk Cousins, move back and add the best veteran available in free agency and bring him home for a reunion. So they are, whether we like it or not here, kind of
they're at the center.
All the rumors are going to involve them. Like, it's going to be somewhere between fun and exhausting. But, yeah, you're right. They are the epicenter of kind of whatever's going on because of all the assets that they have, a new owner, a new GM, and some aggressiveness.
I don't have a better phraseology than this. I've been trying to come up with one, and I don't have one. So I'm going to apologize to you and everybody listening to this program. When you've got that many choices, the speculation is going to run rampant. In other words, the Colts, the year that they picked first and took Andrew Luck, I know it was still their choice, but they had no choice, right? A generational quarterback prospect, a guy that they'd let Peyton Manning go basically in favor of, they were always going to take Andrew Luck. So when you've got myriad choices and nobody's really sure what you're thinking or what you're going to do, you're going to be the subject of every rumor, every speculation, every trade up, every trade back, every free agent. They're going to be linked to you. They've put themselves in a position, much to the – this is the only thing I want to give credit really to the Rivera era for. They didn't overspend in the way that they set themselves up for whatever this year is and is going to be pretty darn well to be able to make some selections and reshape the roster in a bunch of different ways.
Mike Evans staying in Tampa Bay, I saw today. One of the best receivers of his era. He'll be in the Hall of Fame. Speaking of Hall of Famers, shout out to Jason Kelce, who retired today in an emotional press conference. Maybe the greatest center of my lifetime. And we're at a point now, you and I, where we're old enough to have seen like the entire career arcs and guys that have become coaches. And you know what it looks like now, where a guy's going to become a Hall of Famer. Jason Kelce's that guy. In the division, dominant player, center on a starting offensive line that was one of the best in football for years and years. So that was one of the big stories of the day in the National Football League as well. But, yeah, we've been multitasking out here in West Palm Beach, where we got a nice setup. We got an Airbnb. The lads all went shopping when we first got here. We went to Walmart to get our groceries. And it looked like the shopping cart of, like, three dudes living in a dorm in their freshman year of college. There were cookies, bunch of candy. I'm not a candy guy, but
could have fooled me with what I saw at the house last night.
Ryan, Darris, and Toby love candy, apparently. There were weird types of Mountain Dew that are only available at Taco Bell and Walmart that I didn't even know about that they're buying. A bunch of Oreos, and there were nothing.
Wait,
green.
The Baltimore Orioles were there?
Nothing, no lettuce. Like there was. I don't. We're doing this thing, man. So it's very much a dudes being dudes hang out here at the Airbnb where I whooped Toby's ass 85-0 in Madden.
Mm.
I'm not going to tell you that I was on rookie and he was on all Madden.
That's not pertinent.
Not important.
Two things. One, you slept on my Oreos reference and steamrolled right through it.
I didn't.
Second,
it just didn't hit me right.
Right. Which you were in the middle of a thought, but I just want to let it know that it, you know, I noticed and that's fine. We're going to do the rest of the show still, but it happened. The second thing is,
how much would it have ruined your day if I told you, like,
you didn't love it? It's like, fine.
I
didn't
enjoy the humor of the joke.
Significantly. Like, I mean, either way, it's not a great upside for me. Just want to let everyone know that I marked it. Like, if you're listening in a car, go, did Danny notice that, like, no one paid attention to that? Yeah, I heard it, and I felt it. And the waves of disdain from not just you, but Darris and Ryan, who are also in the room, didn't feel real good to start this show. So it's like, I felt welcome last night when you guys picked me up at 1:15 in the morning. A little bit less so now. But the grocery haul, fascinating when I got in there. Like, no, like, little snack, no, like, protein bars or something that we could, like, bring here to the park and, like, have if we're going to be here for 6-7 hours. It was a big old thing of cookies, and there's only one left in the package. The Nerds / gummy bears were open.
Didn't look in the freezer. Two frozen pizzas, which is a weird purchase I think back at it now. Maybe we were shopping hungry.
Is someone really going to do that?
We're never home.
Who's going to turn the oven on?
The last two nights.
And supervise it.
We've gotten back to the house at, like, 1 and, like, 1:27. Now, you'll be home at, I don't know, before the show.
Like, it's
probably
almost time to go now. Like, let's start thinking about getting home.
So, this was another thing last night. So, we go pick up Danny at the airport. And it's a big deal. We've been talking all day. Danny's going to be here. Danny's going to be here.
Danny's coming.
Let's all stay awake and go get Danny, and we'll begin our hangout with Danny. We have not gotten into the door yet before Danny goes, hey, guys, I appreciate everyone coming to get me, but I'm really tired. I might turn in. Now, you did end up, like, I don't know if you just had to take things out and hang it in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
So you were awake for another 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
But the second you got in, you're like, that's all for me.
Right.
Whatever you get, whatever video game plans and fun you guys want to have tonight, I'm here from the airport now. I don't need you suckers anymore. Which bed is mine?
Yeah, that ride was really sweet of you. But old Randy Duhier's day started with a 5:45 wake up to go to this tournament in Fredericksburg with some flights and delays and trials and tribulations. I'm ready for bed. Plus, we're getting up early this morning. One of the cool thing that the reason we're here, it's not just vacation. It's not just a bunch of boys doing an Airbnb, although that's cool too.
It's fun.
Your boys were up at Adam, not Adam, but at them. First thing this morning, Nationals Clubhouse, FaceTime, shucking and jiving, meeting and greeting, talking to the kids, talking to some of the veterans. We got a whole bunch of Nats content for you.
Yeah, so two things on spring training. First, and I do this every time we come down here, every year that we're here. We have not been here since 2020.
Yeah, when the world stopped.
Right.
We stopped it, basically.
If you're a fan of baseball, I cannot stress this enough. Like, I always love getting to see things through the eyes of people that are seeing it for the first time when you're used to it. So Darris has never been here. Ryan has not been here. Toby, first time. These are people who love baseball. Mm-hmm. They're just blown away by how cool it is and this, like, why have I never done this? As a baseball fan, forget working at the radio station.
It's the best bang for your buck.
It's just so cool. But also, because this team is not good, they're not going to win a lot of games because there's not a lot of stars. Because other than Patrick Corbin, nobody in that clubhouse makes any money yet. There's not a lot of fans here either. And so the diehard, like, retired guy who flies down for the month is here, and he's taking pictures. There's a couple of kids and their parents. But you can walk on the premises pretty much wherever you want. It's essentially, the way I compare it on all these backfields and things, there's like a sim game today where a bunch of the Nationals that aren't in the big league lineup at the spring training game that's being played right now on this premises at the actual ballpark, because you still need your work and you're not in the lineup, they'll go play a simulated game. It's the equivalent of being at the high school field that you grew up going to. You're just standing, hands through the chain link fence right behind the backstop, watching C.J. Abrams against Josiah Gray, like get in their work. Just playing a nine-inning game with a bunch of major league players. There's also the ability to go out to the backfields and watch all the prospects and the minor leaguers and the autograph possibilities if you're into that. Pictures, just being able to meet and talk to players. This access is unlike anything else in any sport in any time of the year at spring training. And I just always say, if you are a big baseball fan and you've never done this, this should be your vacation one year. It's a week, you get a place, you bring the kids, and it's a baseball heaven. So that's my number one spring training thought. The second thing is I want to talk about the clubhouse itself, Danny, because this is the most refreshing, personable, friendly clubhouse I've ever been in. And I think that's probably because there's just not enough really good players at the major league level to be jerks. But all the guys in there are pretty much 22 or 23, happy to be here, accommodating and just willing to talk to anybody, fans, media, whatever. This is going to be a really easy team to root for this year.
Now, it's not to imply, because I had the same experience, only just being in there this morning, you guys have a couple-day head start on me. It's not to say that there haven't been great guys throughout history on this team and on this roster and in this organization. That's not what we're talking about. It's different. Like, Zim was an awesome guy from minute one till the end of his career. Sean Doolittle. You could run down the list of guys that are fan favorites that were just obviously oozed good person. There's a different energy. Will it translate into more wins than you think? I have no idea, honestly. Like, does Mackenzie Gore make a leap? Does Josiah Gray have another all-star first half and combined with an all-star second half? How good is C.J. Abrams this year? Does Luis Garcia bounce back? Does Keibert Ruiz improve his pitch framing and hit for more average? There's a million things that are going to get in the way of them winning a bunch of games, and not the least of which is this excellent division, by the way. But put that aside for a second. Your point is exactly right about the rootability, if that's even a thing. Guys like some of these young kids that have the exact right head on their shoulders, not just the my you-know-what doesn't stink. It's the I know I'm good, but I haven't done it yet. And it's still the happy to be here kind of vibe, right? The energy is very, very good in that clubhouse. The veterans aren't doing the policing. They're doing the everybody's pulling the rope in the same direction because they're looking for one more day in the sun too, right? So a lot of these guys are looking for their bounce back here to kind of reclaim some of the glory that they had not that long ago.
But think about the veterans, though. Like, yeah. First of all, there really aren't players that make a lot of money other than Corbin, as I mentioned. There's not a lot of established stars. Joey Gallo is 30. He's one of the only guys on the team that's 30. He signed a $5 million deal. It's deferred out over 3 years. He makes a couple million this year. But you're talking about a lineup maybe where Abrams is 23, Lane Thomas is 28, Gallo's 30, Meneses is 31, Winker's 30, and some of those guys I just named, whether it's Gallo, Meneses, Winker, they may not be playing every day for this team by the end of the year. But the clubhouse, there's an entire area where it's just all of the stud minor leaguers. James Wood, Dylan Cruz, you know, Brady House, Trey Lipscomb, Robert Hassel, and they all just kind of sitting together. C.J. Abrams and Kamer Reeves are hanging out with them because that's the age group that they kind of belong with. It's just a different, really exuberant feeling. So we know what we're getting into again, I think, as a fan base. When you don't spend money, and it's pretty clear, I would say, that Mike Rizzo wasn't given a checkbook to use and there wasn't a whole lot of cash being shelled out, you're not going to go out and win a whole lot more ball games. But I think they like some of the names you just said took steps forward last year. Mm-hmm. On the pitching side, Gray, Gore, Irvin, maybe you take another step forward. Maybe it's Jackson Rutledge breaking out. On the hitting side, James Wood, is he going to be on the opening day roster? He's trying to play his way on right now. I don't know. That might be bullish, but he's going to debut early. Dylan Cruz is going to graduate this year. We're going to see House. So we're almost out of the woods on the darkest part of this rebuild. And even if they're not very good from a win-loss standpoint this year, I'll speak for myself as a guy who loves following prospects, this is going to be a blast because every couple of homestands, someone's going to be making a debut this year. And that has not been the case in years.
It's been a while since that, yeah. I mean,
we've been like, oh, it's Cavalli Day 6 months ago. It was, you know, there's always one player. Now it's every couple of weeks it's his turn, graduate that player. And I just think it's a good situation. And then the older players, like Gallo is a mensch. You'll hear him on our show. We had him on the phone a couple weeks ago, but he'll join us while we're down here. He's a great guy. Corbin is one of the best teammates. We can say whatever we want about how he's pitched. It's been ugly for the last few years. He's a punching bag within the fan base. I understand nobody likes hearing about how professional or how respected and revered as a teammate somebody is. Like, Patrick Corbin's one of the best teammates in this organization's history, you know, and he's all these guys are coming over to his house for dinner, and he's taking them all out to eat and paying for everything constantly. Yep. They don't have bad eggs, and I think if you're a fan, that's going to resonate with people as they watch this team. I really believe
it's going to come across. Just a roster note that you just kind of alluded to. Of the guys that are going to play baseball for the Nationals this year, there's one person born in the 80s, and that's Patrick Corbin. It is a young flavor, right? The other guy, of course, is Strasburg, and we know kind of the backdrop there with him. But it's a lot of 90s babies, late 90s at that, by the way, just for the record.
Say, there's a lot more 2000s babies.
And even more 2000s. It is a bunch of young kids that are hungry, some to kind of establish some regularity, get a foothold, and some it's to get a foothold in the bigs. Other guys, it's to say, okay, I'm in the major leagues, now what? I mean, the guys like Mackenzie Gore against Josiah Gray, I know he was an all-star last year, but what are you going to be? Is it, I'm in the big leagues and that's nice, or is it, I'm going to continue to sort of drive and keep clawing and get to the top of the heap?
Speaking of being hungry, I think was the phrase you used.
Yeah.
How's your Cracker Barrel sitting? You had quite an order
today.
Oh,
just fine and dandy. Having a great old time. Yeah. I love Cracker Barrel so much. This was the first time, I would say, ever in my Cracker Barrel going appearance, or career rather, that it wasn't an ideal situation. Usually it's you get in, everyone's so nice, you order, they bring biscuits immediately, the coffee's refilled constantly, everything is perfect, you're in and out in 40 minutes. This today was more than twice that. We waited a long time. Ryan and Toby pretty much like didn't get their food until everyone was done.
You're just running Cracker Barrel.
It's now 100 out of 101 that Cracker Barrel has been awesome.
You'll take that batting average.
I will take that batting average. I'd go tomorrow if it was okay with you guys, but today wasn't great. It was still good, but it wasn't great.
It just seemed like you didn't eat what you normally do. It seemed like you scaled it back.
I don't agree with that assessment, to be honest with you.
What'd you have?
So I had the biscuit Benny as kind of my main situation. That's going to be your eggs, bacon, on top of multiple biscuits with the hollandaise sauce. It's not a holiday sauce, Ryan. It's a hollandaise
Jackson hollandaise.
I had grits, and I had the hash brown potato casserole. Then I had, I believe it was 1, 2, 3, 4, I think it's 5 separate biscuits. 2 I did with gravy, 3 I did with butter and jam. Then I had a side of pancakes as well. That's a side of pancakes.
It's your spring training too, man. Yep. You're just getting you gotta get into game shape. You know, you gotta get into midseason form. Maybe by the end of our stay here on Wednesday,
yeah,
you're gonna be able to order what you want at Cracker Barrel.
I mean, again, I know you're doing a bit, but I'm a little bit put out by it. Like I'm like I want you to acknowledge.
Like, this is your payback for me no-selling when you did the Orioles thing that I didn't love? Is this your payback of that?
No, I just kind of need you to acknowledge that I put on a display. Everyone else is, like, dying, and I feel great.
It might have been the situation where I over-talked about it going in. Because, like, I was telling Toby, I was like, dude, you got to watch what Danny orders. Just keep your eyes on him.
Just keep your eyes on him.
I literally ordered an X. I asked for a table for six instead of five. So that we had enough room for all the plates that you would
need. You did do that, yeah.
So I was, like, thinking about this for months. And it felt underwhelming. But maybe I built it up in my head.
Man, I mean, it was a full three-plate situation. I don't know what I'm supposed to do there.
I feel like when the Nats were really good, like in 19.
Yeah.
I think that's when you were
That's
really
when I was
good.
At my best, yeah.
Exactly. I think you're very young and nice now. And you're very personable and accommodating. Like we're talking about the clubhouse being. But you don't have the pelts on the wall anymore. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Interesting. Wow.
I want to get into the latest rumors on the Commanders quarterback options for this offseason with Adam Schefter now trying to suggest that they could be in the Kirk Cousins market. Remember, we've got Mike Rizzo on the show today at 3 o'clock. Davey's going to join us tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We will be catching up with Joey Gallo, Mackenzie Gore, Josiah Gray, Patrick Corbin. If the National that you like has done anything over the last couple of years, you'll probably hear them on this show between now and Wednesday. Really fired up to be in West Palm Beach. Grant and Danny from Florida today on The Fan.
All options are open, Grant and Danny. All options are open. We're just going through that process. We're just meeting all the prospects for the first time this week. So that's been a really cool part of this week. That's the best part of this week, really, for us is getting a chance to meet them for the first time face to face. And then that'll be the first time of many for a lot of these young men. And so that's way down the road. We probably won't make that decision for a while, but we're exploring all options and then make sure we, like, I think I keep saying this, but it's going to be the best decision for the organization.
Adam Peters, the general manager of your Washington Commanders, joined the show last week. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. On The Fan, he was with us a week ago on Wednesday and got to the bottom of at that time some of how he was feeling about the organization as the combine was beginning. But now, Danny, you fast forward and we've been discussing whether you trade up, whether you trade back, whether you stay put, whether you just take a quarterback at number two. Is there a possibility for the Commanders that you do go the veteran route and Kirk Cousins is available? Something Adam Schefter was speculating about. We'll play that audio for you in just a little bit. Today with Pat McAfee on ESPN, we could dive into that in just a moment. We're live at West Palm Beach. We are in beautiful and sunny Cacti Ballpark on Grant and Danny for our coverage of Nats spring training, which is presented by Main Street Bank, Cheer Local, Bank Local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Mike Rizzo joins us in 30 minutes.
Can't wait to catch up with him. This is such a fascinating sort of time for this organization, for this club, right? I mean, you think about the backdrop of whatever's going on with the dramatics with Steven Strasburg and the team. You think about the Lerner's ownership near and, I don't say distant, but, you know, a few years down the line future. You think about some of the prospects that are on the way. There's a lot of happenings and goings on with this team. We're going to find out a lot of things over the next 6-7 months.
So here are the three options I want to give you. I want to take your temperature. And we can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines on this as well at 800-636-1067. But we just watched the combine. You saw the top quarterbacks going through the interview process, and then, you know, a handful of them took to the field, right? J.J. McCarthy could go in the top 10. We saw Penix and Nix spinning in a bit. The elite quarterbacks in this class, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and obviously Caleb Williams, elected not to throw the football this past weekend. By the way, did you see the new drill where they are clocking velocity? So they just stand
there. I'm into it, yeah.
And they just throw the ball as hard as they can, basically 15 feet from a wall. I thought they were going to measure like RPMs, but basically it's almost like when you are at a minor league ballpark and you take a baseball and you just throw it as hard as you can.
You're at the carnival.
And there's a gun.
That's right, yeah.
So they do that, but with a football. And it confirms what you were suspecting in a lot of cases. I was watching Sam Hartman, who's a very good-looking.
Dream boat.
Really attractive quarterback from Notre Dame. But he's throwing those drills this weekend, and his arm was awful. he would go in the Joe Milton from Tennessee, who's got a massive arm, or McCarthy would go and they would look like they're shooting a ball out of a cannon. Mm-hmm. But then I saw the velocity for Hartman was 53 miles an hour and Milton was about 63. And just standing 10 feet from a wall and throwing a football, that's a pretty big difference.
That's a major difference. That is a Tony Stark difference. By the way, Joe Milton, gentlemen, he can spin a little bit.
Oh, he can throw.
There were a couple of neat little highlights that I saw in the old Twitterverse hanging out. That was some pretty impressive work at the combine for
that
him.
Specimen. He can run. He can throw. He's got all the physical traits for sure. Expectation is not that he'll go anywhere near the top of the board.
Obviously. Interesting project for somebody, though.
But here's where I wanted to go. Three options, right? We're designing our own game here. You got to love one, like one, and hate one, okay? Mm-hmm. Of the what we're perceiving right now to be the three different routes you could take at quarterback for the Commanders. And this is on March 4th, a week out from the start of the league year. Maybe we could take inventory at different points, mile markers throughout the offseason. But as of right now, how you're feeling, you got to love, like, and hate these three options, assign one value to each. Trading up to number one to take Caleb Williams, trading back out of number two, and we're going to handcuff to that because of the Schefter, I'm not going to call it a report, speculation today about Washington possibly trading back and signing Cousins. And then the third would be, you just stay put, don't move, take the best quarterback available. Love, like, and hate those three quarterback scenarios. 800-636-1067. You want to play along with us on Grant and Danny. Tag, you're it.
Love. Love. Staying put and taking a quarterback. Love it. Do it. If you don't have one, take one. If that guy's bad in a couple of years, get up to the top of the draft, take another one. That's what you do. You do it until you have one. Never stop. Like trading back and going with a different path. In this case, it's going to be Kirk Cousins. Because that means there's a chance you could be pretty decent pretty quickly, right? I don't know if you keep the ceiling as high than going the route that I would like, but I certainly wouldn't mind. You end up with a major upgrade at quarterback. You end up with probably more prospects, more good players, more guys that are going to be here in a couple of years, some jerseys to buy, things like that. So I'd like it. I wouldn't hate it. Wouldn't be upset about it. I'd like it. I would hate moving up. I just don't think that's the right thing. The juice and squeeze situation there isn't worth it. It just doesn't make much sense to me. It's not practical. The only way that makes sense is if you've got such a head and shoulders, no question about it, highest graded blah, blah, blah since the blah, 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 and everybody else is dog water. Like in a year that when Kenny Pickett went late in the first round, everyone else is doing the Malik Willis bit or whatever, talking themselves into certain guys. If there was a number one quarterback that year, right, if there was a Trevor Lawrence that year, if there was an Andrew Luck that year, and the next best guy probably shouldn't go in the first round, okay, I could talk about doing it then. Other than that, doesn't make sense to me.
All right, so we're going to be in lockstep. I'm going to love taking my QB at two and solving a 30-year dilemma, hopefully. Whether it's May or Daniels, the idea that whoever I take will not only be the right player because I've got Peters and Newmark and a brain trust that can evaluate, but I've put together a tremendous staff that Tevita Pritchard and Cliff Kingsbury under Dan Quinn and this offensive collection of ideas that we're going to put together is going to get that guy to thrive. That gives me hope that I just solved that problem and I didn't have to throw any more resources at it. It's one pick. I'm still loaded up. I got 36 and 40. I still got another five in the top 102. I could start moving the board, navigating, going and getting a left tackle because I need one because I cut Charles Leno. Going and getting a tight end. Needed one already, but now I really need one because I cut Logan Thomas. Finding a running back with speed or whatever it is in the interior of the offensive line that I think plays early in the draft. So that's what I love. Like to me would be, as you suggested, moving back. But, man, if I'm moving back, I think I'm still moving back to take a kid quarterback. I don't want to cheat the exercise. The exercise is themed to the Schefter comment today that Cousins is in the conversation and that you'd be moving back, taking Cousins, and basically like building around him for a couple of years. But if I'm moving back, I'm moving back to taking a QB just very high still, but not at two. Maybe that's four or five. And you'll hate this, but maybe that's McCarthy at that point. Or maybe it's 10 or 12 and you're overdrafting in the eyes of a lot of people, Penix or Nix or something like that if McCarthy's gone. But I would still put drafting a quarterback in the first half of the first round is mandatory for me. The thing I'll hate, and I've kind of been on board with this all along, is trading up to one. I honestly don't care if I loved Caleb Williams, and I don't necessarily. But even if I did, I think I would hate trading up to one. Like, as I think about it right now, I was asking myself this yesterday as I was spitballing this. How I felt about Joe Burrow was can't miss, going to be elite, will be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. This is the dream you build in the laboratory. Would I have traded up for one? Well, in hindsight, of course. Why wouldn't you do that? But if I was sitting here in this moment right now and Burrow's sitting there, I think I'd be saying, I'd rather just sit at two. I still think I'm going to get a really good quarterback, and I'll surround that guy with all that other stuff. I'd be wrong knowing what we know about Burrow, but he was an unknown. I mean, it was still a gamble in theory. So I don't even think it is my thoughts on Caleb Williams coming home to roost when I say I don't want to trade up. I just think generally that's not where value is. We talked to Peters about this. Peters told us, oftentimes you're better off moving back than moving up. That's the value.
Yeah, I think context matters too when it comes to it on a number of fronts. Number one, this organization, these guys that are making the decisions, cannot be burdened by my anxiety and irritation and frustration that I share with so many thousands of fans who are just so sick of not having a quarterback. They're just so tired of being in the other group, right? It's been us. It's the Bears. It was the Browns before they went and overpaid for Deshaun Watson because they're so desperate to have that position filled. It's a pathology I understand, by the way. So they don't have to be burdened by that. They need to make a prudent decision. But again, the other part of the context that I think matters so much is, again, what's available in this particular draft. Like, if picking third for the sake of argument, if you were the Patriots and you had, this 1,000-foot gap between the top two signal callers and the next available guy that was, rated as, a third or fourth or fifth or sixth round grade, then you probably would be more incentivized to trade up because you're basically talking about wasting an entire year, which I don't do. I don't waste years with bridge quarterbacks. This organization has a million times over, and there's still people advocating for that, by the way, which I'll never understand. But to me, I don't waste time without a guy that's going to be my franchise quarterback on the roster. I either am desperately trying to acquire him or I'm developing him and playing him. And then I find that he's not. I do the same thing over and over again until I found one. People will take years away to just do a Ryan Fitzpatrick thing, just to do a Taylor Heineke thing, just to do a Kyle Allen thing or a Carson Wentz thing. That's wrong every time, always. Right? So to me, the context matters here. There are two guys, depends on the eye of the beholder, that are pretty damn good prospects in their own right, sitting there at number two. That has to govern your decision to some degree.
We'll play that Schefter audio on Cousins here in just a couple of moments on Grant and Danny here on The Fan when we return. If you've got a thought on the exercise that we are playing right now, you could take part at 800-636-1067. You got to love, like, and hate these quarterback scenarios, trading up, trading back and going and getting Cousins or a veteran, and then staying put and just grabbing the best available option at number two. How would you assign those scenarios? 800-636-1067. Mike Rizzo on the show, the president of the Nationals. In about 20 minutes, we are live in West Palm. And speaking of which, we saw a live episode of Cops in West Palm Beach last night. We were smack dab in one of the weirdest scenarios any of us have ever experienced. We'll tell you about that as soon as we return next on Grant and Danny. We are live in West Palm Beach, bringing you Nats spring training coverage the way it ought to be. Presented by Main Street Bank, your local bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We will play that Schefter Cousins audio in just a couple of moments. Last night we were out at dinner. Danny, you were probably 30,000 feet in the air, somewhere between D.C. and Florida. I'm going to say you
were. What time was it? I'll tell you exactly where I was.
This is going to be at about 9:06 p.m.
I had just returned from walking around the entire National Airport, not Nationals. It's not the Washington
National.
So you
hadn't taken off yet?
No. I just did done some walking around after I ate my second dinner of the evening, gradually heading back to the sea gates.
So one of the great things about West Palm Beach in the evening in March is that all the restaurants are open air, basically. So the windows, the doors, it's like garage door type stuff. It's open, and it was just a beautiful night. So we had watched Charlie and Dave at Duffy Sports Bar do their show, and a bunch of the snowbirds down here from D.C. or whatever they call them that are enjoying West Palm were over there watching their broadcast. Pretty packed house. We're eating buffalo wings, having a good old time. So then we stayed and had a little a cocktail or two afterwards.
Sure.
And we're hanging out at the bar. And there's a massive collision. Very obviously, it's a car crash. Now, we're sitting right on a street, and the crash clearly happened right on the street. So we all kind of whip our heads. This is all happening. You're kind of in shock. And as we whip our heads around to this crash that was obviously right on the street, very, very loud, a guy jumps out of a U-Haul truck.
Okay.
This is a big U-Haul truck. He jumps out.
Like big old box truck.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The U-Haul truck had slammed into a vehicle that was stopped at a stoplight. That car was like now kind of in the same way that if your kid rammed a car with another car,
sure.
It would just kind of like turn at an angle in the middle of the intersection.
Yeah.
So it was there, jacked up. And then this guy jumps out of the U-Haul truck and starts hauling butt. He looks like he was, you know, he's from some random directional Florida at the combine, running a 429. He just starts flying down the street in front of us. I couldn't tell if he had a gun or what, but he was like digging something out of his pocket.
Oh, man.
And as he was doing this, I'm thinking, that's kind of weird. Cops, by the several, and maybe not by the dozens, but callers, sirens, all over the place, they all start taking after him. And they're doing the, you've seen this on Cops thing, where their right hand is like on their weapon. They're on a dead sprint. They're doing like windshield wiping motion sprinting. And I mean, it's like 10, 12 cops running after this guy down the street. Busy street. It's like a main little thoroughfare. Think, I don't know, like Clarendon, if everyone eats outside
yeah.
or something.
They're right there on Wilson Boulevard.
Exactly. And so they're just sprinting down Wilson Boulevard in West Palm Beach. And we're just sitting there going, what in the heck is going on? And they're all, like, they haven't drawn their weapons, but they're grabbing them, screaming at him. He's flying down the street. Well, this is all happening so fast that a lot of people are falling over and, like, jumping under tables. And I don't mean to make light of this, if that's what it sounds like I'm doing. I'm not. It was scary. And you just don't know. In today's world, like, it's very strange to
yeah.
be in the middle of that. It was one of the craziest things that I've experienced. And, Darris, I will just say, I know you were upset with me, but it was a real-life Netflix show. Like, I am a true crime documentary guy, and I had to get to the bottom of what happened.
I just couldn't believe you and Ryan and our guy Bobby Blanco was with us.
Yeah.
I can't believe you guys' comfortability with just casually walking up to the scene of the crime moments after it just happened.
So, but this is what I didn't
Unbelievable
realize.
Unbelievable to me.
So the crash happens.
Yes.
I see the crash. I see the guy sprint down the street. He sprinted, like, the other way, like, a block or two.
Mm-hmm.
So he had gone, like, the bad guy was out of the area. But I had seen where this guy got hit, and I kind of walked up. I don't know to, like, say, are you okay or whatever. But it was one of those things where you just kind of realize, like, wait, why am I here? And so, like, 20 seconds after this happened, I was literally, like, arms reach away. I could touch the car that the guy had just jumped out
what
of.
What are you doing?
Which is across the street from where we were eating, like probably 30 yards.
You know what else it is evidence.
Well, exactly. I didn't touch anything.
Well, what are you doing?
But I walk across the street, and I literally say to the cop, this is where I realize, like, what am I doing? I was like, what happened here? And the guy just kind of looked at me like, go away.
Yeah, like, what could you possibly be doing?
Why are you so comfortable? And I just kind of realized, I'm like, wait, what am I doing? And then I just kind of slowly walked away, and I was like, that was so weird. I was out of body experience.
What?
But I think I'm just too comfortable. Like, I watch all these true crime documentaries all the time, and immediately I'm like, I have to solve this. Like, I have to see what's in that car, and I'm going to break out my little black light and all this stuff. And I realized, like, this is the real world, stupid. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm very good at it's time to leave when that stuff happens.
Well, Toby.
Yeah, let's get cover. Let's get out of there.
God bless Toby Altizer.
Yeah.
Co-host of Bustin' Loose Baseball. He quite literally, again, it sounds like I'm making fun of him. He, like, jumps up from the table and runs and hides
yeah.
in the back of the restaurant.
Correct.
Behind a pillar.
Good.
Like, that's where he went.
Right. Ask other people questions.
He did
about
the right
it.
Thing.
Well, it's like, imagine.
Well, where were you, by the way? You were just at the
next
table.
To Toby.
I was at the front door because you guys were trying to take a picture. You were talking with two fans of the show, and you guys are about
oh,
to take
true.
A picture.
Yeah.
Right. So I was just standing at that doorway with the dude's phone in my hand and could not believe how close you guys wanted to just walk to the crime scene. I'll never understand.
It's just not how I'm built. So, like, for example, let's say there's like 10 people. One guy has the bad luck when he was walking outside of the little enclosure we are of getting mauled by a bear. There are two types of people. Someone that gets a closer look, and his name's Grant. Then there's the person.
You know, I'm so curious.
Yeah, you're so curious. I am not curious at all.
Also nosy.
Survive.
But I am so curious.
Yeah, you can't turn off.
I think if I could change one thing about me, it'd be that. I'm way too curious. It annoys my wife. I ask a million questions.
You're a question asker.
I can't anything. It's just like, hey, how was your day? And she's like, oh, fine.
What?
what are we talking? Did we eat anything? What time do we wake up?
Yeah.
Were the kids cute? What did they say? How did it work? We'll save that audio of Schefter talking Cousins possibly coming to D.C. We got Mike Rizzo joining us right at the top of the hour here in West Palm Beach. We are live at spring training. Grant and Danny from Florida on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.